Good morning. Good to see you all this first Sunday of December. We almost have to pinch ourselves with the weather we're having right now. So I guess the question I have from my dark Scandinavian side, being in Minnesota for so long, is this a reward for October, or will we pay for this somewhere down the line? So maybe both. Maybe both. It all seems to even out. But anyway, welcome on this beautiful, foggy, but balmy Sunday morning in December. We are set up to celebrate Holy Communion. You should have your little cups with the wafer on the top and the juice on the bottom. If you need one, stick your hand up. Our usher will bring you one right now. So hopefully you all have those. So just a few announcements to get us started here today. If you take a look at the back page of the bulletin, Tuesday through Friday, I'll be in the office here if you want to stop by for a socially distant visit. This happens a lot. People stand in my doorway or they come in and sit down, and we're 8 feet apart and we'll wear masks and whatever, but stop by for a visit. Then there's a typo in the bulletin. The council meets at 6 o'clock. Not 6:30. Well, you can come at 6:30. You'll just be half an hour late. So, we'll, if you're not there, we'll probably, you know, give you some job to do or something. So, be there at 6. It's always dangerous showing up to council late. So, all right. So, and then there's some birthdays listed here. Happy birthday to you all. Our November mission of the month is the Salvation Army. What is our... I wasn't at the last council meeting because for certain reasons... What's the December mission? Sorry for putting you on the spot, Council. Heart to Heart? Thailand. Oh, that's right. Heart to Heart, the mission we support via Julie Smooty. But Heart to Heart Thailand, that's the Thai version of what Julie started in Thailand. But now it's up and running and administered and run by the Christmas mission. Okay, so Heart to Heart Thailand is our December mission of the month. Next Sunday then, December 13th, third Sunday of Advent already. So again, we're doing Sunday school and confirmation virtually. I just, she does live, so the Sunday school has already happened, and then I just uploaded my confirmation lessons. So so stay at home, stay safe, and then our 10 a.m. worship, we're worshiping still in the sanctuary with mass and social distancing. And then if you're in the parking lot, welcome to you who are out there. And then, of course, we're online. And but we don't have Holy Communion next week. We're having it this week, though. That's another typo. Thursday, December 17th, I think it's 10 a.m., isn't it, Grace Lutheran Women? 9? Okay. 9 a.m., then Grace Lutheran Women meet at Grace in the Fellowship Hall, spread out, of course. And then those are the announcements. Any others? Council, of course, will be meeting this week, and there's some decisions that have to be made about how we're going to proceed from this point on. We all know that we're kind of at the peak of a second surge here with the virus, and it's been described as the peak on top of a peak. Whatever, it's everybody knows somebody that's had it now. I think that's true. So we will continue to be very careful and not be just terrified by it to the point where we make it an idol. So God is still on his throne, and he's got us. So those are the announcements. Any others? All right, let's open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A moment of silence as we pray our hearts for worship this morning.
To see you all. This morning our opening song is the Advent hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Worship is an Advent reading. As we light the second Advent candle, remember Jesus, the mighty God. He is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is our God, and we will praise him, our Savior God, and we will worship him. As we light the second Advent candle, remember Jesus, the mighty God. To whom will you compare him? Who is his equal? He is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary. As we light the second Advent candle, remember Jesus, the mighty God. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He is our Savior God, and we will praise him. A moment of silence for the lighting of the Advent candles.
turn to our hymn titled Angels from the Realms of Glory, hymn number 50, or as seen on the screens.
Indeed, one of the ways we worship Christ is to confess our sins and give him the credit for our salvation and what he has done for us. And we want to connect with that truth today. And let's do that as we turn our attention to our brief order for confession and forgiveness found on page 56 or as it appears on the screen. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, open our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's promise to us from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news for us this morning is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, a creed that's been confessed by Christians over 1,700 years, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you. The scriptures listed in the lectionary for this second Sunday in Advent, the first from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 11, comfort for God's people. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithlessness is like the flowers. All their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. The word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 40. The second reading is taken from the second letter that Peter wrote, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. The day of the Lord. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. A new heaven and a new earth, a new resurrected body. It's going to be amazing. We have a brilliant future. Prayers of the Church. We pray for guidance, O Lord God. You have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as not yet trod and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for help in this pandemic. Keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep. And give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. And be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear prayer. We pray for the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor nor fail to provide resources to the church, to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, as we prepare to hear more about the day of the Lord and the Lord coming to us from the gospel text in Mark chapter 1, let's prepare ourselves by taking up our hymnals or directing our attention to the screen as we sing our hymn of preparation, Savior of the Nations Come. This is an ancient hymn. It reflects on the wonder of the Son of God, his first advent, the sacrifice for sinners, his position in glory where he intercedes for us, and his promised return. All are encapsulated in this hymn. Originally written in Latin by St. Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, in the 4th century A.D., Martin Luther translated it into German in 1523 for Christians of his day because of its substance, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was Catherine Winkworth who translated it from German into English then. She did a lot of that, but we'll see when we look at the hymn. In our own times, it's still one of the most beloved German Advent hymns, and thankfully it's been translated into English. So let's sing this great hymn, Savior of the Nations Come.
Savior of the nations, come, show the glory of the sun. Every people stand in awe, praise the perfect Son of God. Not of human seed or word, His source back to God. Son, girds himself in flesh to run for the trophies of our souls. Longer than this round earth rolls, shining sable in the night, breathing victory with your light. Darkness cannot hide your flame, shining bright as Jesus.
And thankfully, it was J. Walter Geschlich who translated this from German into English, not Catherine Winkworth. So anyway, what a beautiful Advent hymn that is. We can well understand why Luther translated it into German for the people of his day. Well, it's that time in our service where I wish I could ask the kids to come up front, but kids, you just sit tight in your spot and maybe direct your attention up front or take a look at the screens, and we'll have a message just for you. Well, I'm going to need a little audience participation for this, so don't be shy. You're wearing masks, so no one really can see who you really are anyway. But anyway, I want to ask you how you got here today. Okay, by car. And was that a car that kind of floated and helicoptered in, or somebody said yes? Okay. But no. Okay, you got in your car, but then how did you get here beyond the car? Well, you walked, but how did the car get here? I mean, it was on a road, right? All right, so Highway 59, I've been here 10 and a half years, and I think there's only been a handful of days where I maybe took an alternate route, but I came right up Highway 59. It's a main highway. They take very good care of it over the years. As I've sat at my desk, which looks out over Highway 59, and it's been snowing, I hear those snow plows going by. It must be every half hour. They take very good care of this road. It's a major highway. And it's hard to imagine, isn't it, that there was a day when there wasn't a highway there. Somebody actually built that road. And I don't think there's anybody alive today that can remember a time where there wasn't a Highway 59. Matter of fact, the old church, they moved down from over by the cemetery. That's when it was still Bagstavold Lutheran. From what I understand of the history, they moved that church down here to be along the highway because they were running electrical lines up the highway, and they wanted to connect to electricity. So, but today we're going to hear Jesus, we're going to hear John the Baptist quote Isaiah 40. That's actually in Mark's gospel, so Mark's the one that writes it. But prepare the way of the Lord, make ready the highway for our God. Isn't that amazing? That we have an analogy here used of a highway, of a road, the way of the Lord. And God indeed has built a highway to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Advent and Christmas are all about, kids, is that Jesus became one of us. And I don't care how old you are, kids, Jesus was your age at one time. Now, I just had a birthday recently, and now Jesus is eternal, but he never got to my human age, but he was at your human age, and I want you to think about that, kids. We've even got a little baby in the back of the church, William. Jesus was William's age. Isn't that remarkable that the God of heaven and earth allowed himself to be born into a human body so that he could be our brother and accomplish our salvation? And this is God's highway to our heart. Something to think about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today we marvel at the road you have built to us, a highway to come to us, you did this by your incarnation, by being born into our human flesh, to be our human brother, so you could suffer and die for our sins and then rise again and give us the forgiveness of our sins and the sure and steadfast hope of eternal life. We praise and thank you today. Amen. Well, let's pray as we come before God's word. Lord, speak to us, we pray, from this text. Amen. The gospel text for this second Sunday in Advent is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him." And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord. So Mark begins his gospel by quoting the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, a portion that we just read as one of our texts for today. And he says, "Prepare the way of the Lord." The word in the Hebrew text is Yahweh. So Mark is reminding us that in Advent we are preparing the way for Yahweh. Yahweh made flesh, otherwise known as Jesus Christ. And what is it that Jesus is coming to do? Well, he's coming to identify with us. That was the purpose of the incarnation, to become our brother, and then to suffer and die for us. Well, it was called the sewing room. At least that was its intended purpose. My mom loved to sew, but with a part-time job outside the home and a full-time job of cooking, cleaning, canning, gardening, and chauffeuring three active kids around town, she didn't really have much time to sew, except for emergency repairs, usually involving the busted knees out of my jeans. There was that youngest boy who was always tearing things, so I probably got the bulk of her sewing efforts. The house was small when we moved in, but it was a house that we could afford. My dad quickly laid out a plan of renovation that would help the house fit his active family. First, he built onto the back of the house, adding a large room that contained a kitchen, a dining area, and a spot for the washing machine and dryer. Then he remodeled the upstairs attic into two bedrooms, one for my sister and the other for my brother and I. At first, the sewing room was a temporary bedroom for us kids while Dad remodeled the back of the house and the attic. Then, after all the remodeling was done, the room became a temporary storage room for building supplies, luggage, unused furniture, photo albums, Tupperware, Avon supplies. Yes, my mom was an Avon lady. By now, you're getting the picture. The room became known as the junk room. Or at least that's what we called it. And from this use, it never recovered. When you went through your bedroom closet and found clothes that no longer fit, they went to the junk room. When a new kitchen appliance was bought, some poor unused appliance was exiled to the junk room. Sleeping bags, board games, one of those old electric football sets, unused curtains, winter coats, the list was endless as to what you could find in that room. But mostly, It was unwanted junk that no one wanted to take the time to deal with. And when company was coming over, the junk room became a valuable place to put things when tidying up the house. Many of us have places like this in our homes today. Maybe it's a corner in the basement, an upstairs room, or a closet that has become a place to store, dare I say, hide things that we don't want to deal with, and we certainly don't want people to see all the clutter. It's a place that comes in handy when we are expecting company and we need to make the public part of our house look a little more respectable than what it usually looks like. But today, as we've heard the Baptist message, this God-ordained messenger sent to prepare us for the Lord Christ's coming, this messenger, this belonging to no one, living off the land, wild man of a prophet, commissioned by God to speak his truth fearlessly, we know why the crowds flocked to him. He spoke the truth, God's truth, unfiltered. One look at him and one hearing of his message would rock our world, because his words were God's words. Is it any wonder that those who heard him were drawn by some force outside of themselves, drawn into the waters of the Jordan River, confessing not their good deeds, not their good intentions, not their synagogue attendance, not even their ancestral link to Abraham, but confessing their sins, their dirty deeds, their evil acts, their selfishness, their failings, their shortcomings, yes, their rebellion. They gave it all when they stepped into the water after hearing John's preaching. Today, as we hear once again the Baptist message, that message of preparing us to meet this Lord Christ, of whom this remarkable man of God stated that he was not even worthy to untie the straps of his sandals, this message finds us needing also to prepare, to clean up our spiritual house. But isn't it remarkable that, unlike the way we so often clean our homes, gathering our junk, our clutter, the things we want to hide, and throwing them behind closed doors, that we are called today to confess it, to name it, expose it, and receive God's forgiveness for it. No spiritual junk room will help us in preparing to meet the Lord. In and of ourselves, we are totally unprepared to meet him. You see, the truth of the matter is that we sinners cannot hide from God's righteous gaze. And as he comes to us today through his word and sacrament, he beckons us to prepare the way for him through receiving his forgiveness, his one-way grace. For that is what he came to do. Prepare the way of the Lord. That message penned by Isaiah's writing some 700 years before the Baptist wilderness call and woven into the fabric of Mark's gospel finds its prophetic bullseye in the coming of the Lord Christ. If we follow Mark's inspired story of Jesus Christ, we will find that it is the Lord Christ who actually leads us on his way, his road, to Jerusalem, to Mount Calvary, to his sacrificial death, a death for us in our place, and then his glorious, life-giving resurrection. His way, his road, his mission was to empty our spiritual junk rooms and remodel us from the inside out by baptizing us with his Holy Spirit. And may his Spirit now draw us to his table to receive a little bit of bread, a little sip of wine, and his divine promise attached to these common elements, where he speaks to us that our spiritual junk rooms have been emptied, our sins forgiven. And by the power of his forgiveness, May we open that door of that junk room and let the renovation begin. Let us pray. Lord, you have prepared the way for us. We hear your call today. Grant us the sweet forgiveness, the sweet release of our sins. And by your Spirit, Lord, speak to us your peace, that our sins are forgiven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The simple and basic words of our Lord instituting the supper that we're going to participate in, often known as the bare verba, just the basic words of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." Let's take our cup now and peel that thinnest layer of clear plastic off to get to the basic element of bread. And we will hear once again his words, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Take and eat." Holding very firmly to the cup, because this next layer is really hard to peel off, the foil layer. Peel that back. Once again, we direct our attention to the simple promise attached. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Take, drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for your forgiveness." Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ has now bestowed upon you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all of your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Amy. Our Lord has built a highway to us. That highway allows us to pray, to go directly before God with our requests. And so let's do that right now together. Lord, we thank you for the highway that you've built, constructed between us. And we pray now for those who are struggling during this time of pandemic, struggling with health, struggling with finances, struggling with relationships. Lord, it's all connected. It's all trouble. But you know all about trouble. You came into our world. Experience fully its sorrow and its pain. So, Lord, we pray that you would be near those who are struggling at this moment. Grant them faith to look to you. Give them your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who are on the front line of this pandemic. We pray especially for our medical personnel who expose themselves daily to this virus. Grant them, Lord, protection as they go home. May they not get the virus and may they not give it to their families. Lord, pray for those who work out on the front lines, providing us with the opportunities to buy groceries and medicine and gasoline and building supplies. Lord, they're out there every day exposing themselves for our good. And we pray, Lord, that you would watch over them and their families too. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to stand. We're just going to close by singing a couple of simple choruses to the tune of the choruses in O Come All Ye Faithful.
Worship and adore you. We worship and adore you. We worship and adore you. O Christ alone. For you
the Lord's blessing today. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God. Thanks be to God.